The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Ross Brierley, Sean Quinn and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Brighton, Huntingdon and Leicester domestically. We've also got racing from Ireland in Roscommon as well. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Gordon Brown. How are you, Gordon?
I'm very well, Mark. Last day of August as we speak.
Yes.
New month on Monday.
It is. And as this goes out, it'll be the first day of September. Where has this year gone?
1st of September. Yeah. We are approaching the Haydock Park Sprint Cup on Saturday.
Yeah.
Group 1. Following Saturday, St Ledger. Following Saturdays after that is the William Hill Air Gold Cup. And the following Saturday after that is the Cambridgeshire. First leg of the Autumn Double. You're right. Where has the year gone?
Yeah, it's flown by, hasn't it? We'll be jumping again soon by the time...
we will.
Yeah, by the time all that comes has been passed. We'll talk about Saturday to start with, and then we'll move on to Monday's racing, Bruni. Not really the high, you know, highest class Saturday. It's a bit of a low-key Saturday in some respects, but we did see some nice winners. And Actor Bante winning the Solario Stakes. I mean, it's a race that's thrown up some nice horses in the past. Kingman last year, of course. What did you make of Actor Bante?
He's obviously a horse that needs to concentrate. Hugo Palmer, very much a trainer on the up, and the cheek pieces were on for a reason, first time in the Solario Stakes, and he certainly gives that group two a boost that he was second in at Newmarket's July meeting. But he came from off the pace. Ryan Moore got him home to win by a short head. Future Empire in second. Lexington Times only a neck back in third. Cock of the North a further head back in fourth. I don't like it when they finish in a heap like that. I know that they're thinking possibly going for the Dewhurst, possibly Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf over a mile at Santa Anita. You can only beat what's put in front of you, but when you visually see a race like that, it's never good that they all can't be world beaters finishing as close as that. But nevertheless, he's won his race, Actor Bante. So nice to see Hugo Palmer with a decent horse in his hands. And who knows what Actor Bante can do. He will retain the cheek pieces. And as I say, the owner's keen to go for the Dewhurst, and that's probably where we'll see him next.
Yeah, first group win for Hugo Palmer as well, isn't it?
So. He's very much a trainer on the up, young lad based in Newmarket, brought up in the Scottish borders, Newcastle United fan as well.
Yeah.
So I think he went to university in Newcastle. Yeah, nice to see him a good horse in his hands, and as I say, his first group success, and it won't be his last.
No. The Atalanta Stakes was another big race on the card at Sandown, and that went the way of French Raider Fintry. What did you make of her?
Yeah, she's obviously on the up as well. She's improving, and I think you could upgrade that performance because I previewed this race on William Hill TV Shop Service on Saturday, and she's not been well. She had a bit of a break. Anything that she did yesterday, she was set to improve in it. The logical target before yesterday's win, the Sun Chariot Stakes, and Andre Farb doesn't send too many horses across to the UK, and when he does, they tend to be pretty good ones. So I thought it was quite a commanding performance in the end. She's won by a length and a half, or a length and a quarter, from Odalez, Watering Hole back in third. That disappointment of the race for me in this race was possibly Zugria, and Audacia didn't perform up to scratch for me. But Fintry, she won nicely. The race was only run at a steady gallop. She's beautifully bred. She's by Charmadal. She'll probably stay further as well. And as I say, Sheikh Mohammed, John Ferguson and Andre Favre are going to get their heads together. And even before yesterday, it was talk of the Sun Chariot Stakes. And possibly the ground as well wouldn't be ideal. But nevertheless, she's won really well. And apparently, it was the first course success at Sandown for Andre Favre for over a quarter of a century for France's champion trainer.
Really? That's quite a stat, that, isn't it? But yeah, she looked good. She probably looked a better horse than a Group 3 horse, in my opinion.
She's actually a Group 2 winner as well, yeah. And the reason she'd been off was because she'd had the cough, so I think she'll come on for the run.
Yeah. Up at Beverley, we had the Beverley Bullet there. Pearl Secret taking a dropping class running in that race, and it seemed to pay off. He won fairly nicely in the end.
Yeah, apparently it was touch and go whether he actually ran in the race. Jamie Spencer won on Pearl Secret in that Beverley Bull. It's a listed race over five. It wouldn't be the most competitive running of the race, but Pearl Secret, I think as you alluded to, dropping in grade here. It was touch and go whether he went on the fast ground, but he was really nice and fresh at home. He was up there most of the way, quickened late on, and held on well to win by neck from Mirza. Again, a close run finish, neck back to the second, as I say, head back to the third, and a neck back to old Kingsgate native, who's holding his form pretty well at the age of nine. I think the plan is to up and grade again. I'm talking about the Group 1 Haydock Park Sprint next weekend for the winner.
Okay. Anything else stand out to you from Saturday, Bruni?
No, as I say, I thought it was a fairly low-key Saturday. I was just looking through to see there was nothing really hugely impressive, with the exception, perhaps, of B52. B52 winning the first race at Chester for Franny Norton made all the running. I know it had the run of the race from stall two. Franny Norton rides Chester so well. But that, for me, is an improving handicap of that. I don't know where they'll go with that horse. He showed plenty of speed at York. He only just got caught in a better race at York, but at Chester, Franny Norton and B52 spread eagled the rivals in that 5.5 furlong handicap. But overall, it was a competitive weekend. It wasn't one that stands out compared to Group 1 sprinting action coming up at Haydock next weekend, or indeed our final classic at Donny the weekend after.
Okay, good stuff. We'll leave that there and we'll move on to Monday's action, and we'll get Gordon's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Monday. The first race that we're going to look at is the 3:40 at Leicester. We start here with a filly's nursery over 5 furlongs, well, nearly 6 furlongs, and obviously it's for the 2-year-olds, with it being a nursery. And quite a good race here, Bruni, with White Van Gin coming here on the back of a hat-trick, Park Glen chasing the hat-trick, and Warrler also in winning form. It's quite an interesting race to start with.
Yeah, don't be confused when you see this race as 5 furlongs plus. As you've just said, it's knocking on for, in fact, it's only something like 4 yards or 5 yards short of 6 furlongs. War Alert is the interesting one here for Jamie Spencer and David Brown. We just talked about Jamie Spencer winning the Beverley Bullet on Saturday. War Alert, lightly raced filly, 2 runs, both at Windsor, including when sent off Evans' favourite and finishing third on her debut, and then went on to win at Windsor the time before that. Cost over $250,000 as a 2-year-old, so changed hands earlier this year in its juvenile campaign. And she's got fancy entries, I notice, as well. She's in the Cheveley Park, she's in the Rockfell. They clearly think a fair bit of her, and she has got one of the big weights in this filly's nursery. White Vanyan. I've seen this horse in action, actually, White Vanyan, for connections, and it's on a real old roll. It's won its last, believe it or not, 3 starts. The winning run started in early August at Lingfield. It then won at Leicester, and I saw it follow up at Hamilton Park all over this sort of trip on different grounds as well. It was good at Leicester and at Lingfield. It was on the tough track at Lingfield, and it was on the soft side when I saw a win at Hamilton Park. It's back on good to firm. I still think that she's at the right end of the handicap, and Michael Bell's been very shrewd with his placing of these horses. Louis Stewart was on board when she won at Hamilton Park. He went on to win the Ebo the following afternoon, incidentally. I interviewed her after he won, and she won really well. They're claiming Michael Canale takes £7 off the back. We've got Park Glen on a hat-trick as well, incidentally, in this race after a couple of recent wins at Fosslass and Newcastle. War Alert could be anything, got those fancy entries, but following a filly in form at the tail end of the season is usually quite a decent system, and I think White Vanyan could take all the beating here, especially receiving the thick end of a stone off War Alert.
Okay, White Vanyan, the selection in the 3:40 at Leicester. Moving to Brighton for our next race, it's the 4 o'clock there, which is a class 5 handicap over a mile and a quarter for 3-year-olds and older. We we have, well, whilst we had quite a lot of winning form in the last race, Gordy, not too much in this one. So yeah, what are your thoughts here?
Again, just watch the distances here. 1 mile, 1 furlong, it's the thick end. It's pretty much a mile and a quarter race, this. I wouldn't know where to start, but I was looking at the likes of First Time Blinkered, Light of Asia here. Placed in all handicap runs. Ryan Moore on board. It's got to be a leading contender, this Light of Asia. Trained by Ed Dunlop. Is it my imagination, or has he had a pretty quiet season? It was third last time when sent off favourite at Foss Lass on softish ground, which is pretty similar at Brighton. It is drying, it'll be tacky on the soft side of good, and I saw it finish second, not beaten very far, at Hamilton Park in mid-June. That recent run at Foss Lass was its first run back after a little break. Cost $100,000 if you go back to the yearling days of Light of Asia. Who knows what the blinkers might do, and the booking of Ryan Moore certainly is eye-catching. Darting has got a first-time hood on for Andrew Balding and O'Sheen Murphy. Now, this might help her settle. She's probably less exposed than most here, having just her sixth run here this afternoon. First run last time, finished fourth at Nottingham over this trip. That was a first run at this trip. So the hood on for the first time could see Darting improve a little bit. I'm torn between the two in a very open race, this. Light of Asia blinkered for the first time with Ryan Moore on, and Darting got the hood on for the first time with O'Sheen Murphy on. When I'm torn between two, I tend to go for the one at the bigger price, and I think coming back after a break, having not been seen out since early July, Darting for me, for Andrew Balding and O'Sheen Murphy, probably going to be second favourite.
Okay, Darting then in the 4 o'clock at Brighton, and we're going to jump in for our final selection. The 4:50 at Huntingdon is a class 5 handicap hurdle over 3.25 miles, 9 of them in the lineup for this, and I suppose Awesome's going to be relatively popular, won his penultimate start fairly easily, and then beating favourite last time though, Gordy, is Mark catching up with him maybe?
Yeah, a couple of good efforts over similar trips back in the spring. One of them was a win there, trained by Laura Mongan, who of course is the wife of the former jockey Ian Mongan. One win from 16 under rules, that was the one I mentioned back in the spring at Plumpton. It's hardly inspiring form. Tom Cannon on board, since then finished second at Fontwell in early June and hasn't raced since. So coming back after a break, this Awesome. We've got last year's winner in this race, and that last year's winner is Go Amwell, who won for John Jenkins and Leighton Aspel last season. And it's the same combination that are represented by Go Amwell here. Go Amwell's been running recently, but goodness me, an 11-year-old, would you want to put your faith in an 11-year-old? I think that Dazzling Rita could be the one here. Dazzling Rita right down the bottom for Nigel Twiston Davis and David England, mid-division third, and then led into the third last time at Southall in a 3 mile handicap hurdle, and it steps up and trip. It's clearly not the quickest of horses, Dazzling Rita, but in a very open class 5 race, this we're talking about, remember, there's nobody in this race going to end up at the Cheltenham Festival, I wouldn't imagine. And as regards hurdle form, it's never won a race yet. 10 goes under rules in the hurdling sphere. It's been in 3 bumpers without success as well, but that was a better effort last time. They've gradually been stepping this horse up in trip. She's ran at 2 miles and 6, then 3 mile 1 last time, and an extra furlong to go at Huntingdon. So that was arguably a career best from Dazzling Rita last time. David England riding for Nigel Twiston Davis. She's only got 10 stone 7 on her back. Go Amwell, last year's winner, give you a run for your money again, but at the age of 11, ain't going to be improving any. And Awesome, possibly higher up the weights, might be the main danger to Dazzling Rita.
Yeah, the form of Dazzling Rita's previous effort when runner-up at Southwell has been franked. Kilfinchin Bay, who won the race, has subsequently won at Huntingdon, so that doesn't look too bad. And keep an eye on Mutu, who's running on Sunday at Worcester.
Worcester, yeah.
Yeah, so keep an eye on that, because that finished third as well, so that might frank the form going into Monday. But good stuff, Gordy. Let's have a quick summary of your selections, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, in chronological order, I think White Vanyan to keep the winning run going in the Leicester 5:40 at Brighton in the 6 o'clock, Darting for... at the 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock for Andrew Balding and O'Sheen Murphy, and at Huntingdon over jumps at 4:50, dazzling. Rita's still at the right end of the handicap and on the cusp, hopefully, of her first win.
Okay, good stuff, Gordy. Thank you very much. Enjoy it Monday.
Okay, no probs.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gordon Brown on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Ross Brierley, Sean Quinn and Darren Owen in the studio. Brighton, Huntingdon and Leicester are the three meetings domestically. We'll also bring in some Irish action from Roscommon, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.